Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Why don't you explain this to me like I am an 8-year-old?
Do you need it broken down?
It's so dumb.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm 5?
Well, lucky for you.
I don't know how else to talk about it.
Shut up, Meg.
It's time for...
Now I let you know!
Meg-splaining.
Meg-splaining.
That's right, it's a summer Friday, so I wanted to bring back Meg-splaining because I was reading this on Boston.com. And I've definitely heard of this event before. The event I'm talking about is a protest that's kicking off on Boston Common at noon next Tuesday, August 26th. And it's about the topless movement. So the idea that women in Massachusetts should be able to walk around topless anywhere that a man can be topless. So anywhere that it's okay. Like, I'm not talking about if you walk into, say, a restaurant on Newberry Street and you're a guy with your shirt off and somebody in the restaurant, the maitre d' says, hey, you can't do that here. Go put a shirt on. Like, the lady doesn't get to walk in with
Little Caesars, because there's one rule, right? Remember that commercial? Nobody remembers that commercial?
No.
The Little
Pizza Pizza?
Like, yeah, when he's like, keep your shirt on. He's like, there's only one rule, though.
No, I don't. Nobody. Do you know what he's talking about over there? I didn't even think we had Little Caesars on the East Coast.
All right.
I just know my family in Michigan eats
someone
a lot of Little Caesars.
Someone on the text
Caesars
line will know. Or the
okay.
Twitch chat.
So, do you know what's behind the every year, the annual topless protest that goes on here?
I know
before
it's not,
we even get to support or if you're against.
I know it's not clothing companies, but.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, it's not Victoria's Secret. Top Freedom Topless Protest in Boston.
That's a little wordy.
Is backed by a co-organizer that, according to Boston.com, is called the Raelian Movement. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I don't know. Raelian Movement, and they say it's raised eyebrows over years for a number of reasons. Among them is the belief that humanity originated among a race of extraterrestrials called the Elohim.
Yeah, I knew something like that was coming. As soon as you said the name, it's,
wait,
it
gets
I knew
a lot
it was
worse.
Be, yeah.
It gets a lot worse. So they think that topless or not, people came from an alien group. Their logo at one point featured interconnected images of a swastika and a Star of David. That's terrible branding and very, very offensive. So I don't think that that's going to earn them any followers.
Sound like a bunch of normal people.
Sounds like maybe if you are somebody who wants to be topless, this is not the crowd that you want to be in with. But this is what one of the organizers of the protest says. This is not about sexuality. It's about oppression. Oppression of the female breast. These, I mean, look, I gotta be honest, like, there's a side of this where I go, if you're feeding your baby in public or whatever, like, we need to normalize that. I do feel that way.
Yeah, like, that doesn't bother me.
Shouldn't bother anybody. Maybe it's natural if it makes you
like,
feel...
Maybe don't, like, sit down right next to me and do it, but, like, you know, on the whole, it doesn't
I
really...
I understand if it makes people feel a little, like, they're like, whoa, okay, I didn't know that was happening here, and, you know, whatever. To each their own, but... The people behind this movement seem really, really strange. And this is the funniest part of this article to me from Boston.com. They said, in a survey conducted to coincide with last year's protest, because they had this protest last year as well, 69% said that women should be allowed to go topless wherever men can. But as noted then, 85% of the respondents in that survey identified themselves as men.
Yeah. Not really shocked by that. Hey, this is, I don't know, I feel like every few years you get one of these really weird movements. Like, it's like the organization behind it. So, yeah, just odd.
Somebody, the
I'm not against, I can't say I'm against it.
The respondents said only 9% said men should have to cover up just like women do. 61% of readers said that. 61% of the readers who said that identified as women. Men's chests aren't sexualized the same way, but they look awful in public without a top on, said Randy Sue of Canton last year.
Randy Sue.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll just
add, for Canton, anyway.
I'll go around the room as I'm surrounded by men, 85% of the survey respondents. Do you think, I'll start with you, John, do you think that women should be allowed to go topless in public wherever men are topless?
Not like wherever, like if there's kids around inside, like, I don't know, not wherever. Maybe more than they are.
Okay, so if you can take your shirt off to sunbathe in Boston Common, should a woman be able to do that right in the open public on a 75-degree day the same way?
Yeah, that's okay with me. Huh. Like, I wouldn't say have her walk into like Target like that, but, you know, I don't know. If they're just laying there on Boston Common, I don't know many women that would want to do that, though.
That's the other side of this.
I don't really. Most of the women I know
fighting for
would decline that invitation.
All right, back there behind the glass.
I think I'm on the same page as John. Like, I don't think you should I don't think you should be able to like walk into Boston Common like topless. But like, if you're just there in your own little space, like sunbathing, then I don't see a problem with it. But I don't think very many people I know would be like, oh, sign me up to do that.
Yeah, I can't say that I have a lot of friends who are begging for this.
Like this Megsplaining is the first I've heard of this.
You've never heard of this movement? I mean, there was a big thing on Nantucket about having topless beaches in Nantucket, which I feel like is a different thing. For some reason, I feel like with the beaches, because
it's secluded there.
Well, you already have nudist beaches, which, by the way, I've never been to, but from what I hear, it's not always the people who you want to see in the nude.
I could imagine that.
Like, you're not seeing a bunch of people who would be featured on calendars, let's say it that way. Which is fine. Like, people say all bodies are beautiful, whatever. But it's maybe not exactly what you think you're getting when you go there. For some reason, beaches feel a little like less uptight.
Yeah,
maybe it's
that's
the
fair.
Swimming component.
The swimming component, all the fish are naked, I guess, technically.
Somebody on the text line says, male or female, you should be able to pop your top as long as you're hot. So we're just talking about attractive people get a privilege that others
don't. It's like that. You ever see that Family Guy episode where like he becomes beautiful and beautiful people just get treated differently? Which is a real thing in society.
That's definitely true. It's called pretty privilege.
Yeah.
It's the same way tall men are treated differently in society.
Yeah, I have no idea what that's like.
Check out the heights of our presidents.
It's true.
You get a very different slice of the population. I think if you look like tall men on average, not always, but on average, they tend to make more money than men of lesser height. So men have the tall privilege, women have the pretty privilege.
Okay. So next time I talk to Ken and Mike about my salary, I should be like, you should pay me. Are you paying me less because I'm short?
No, you got to wear the Tom Cruise shoes.
Okay.
That's you got to
get on my shoulders.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He could put on a trench coat.
Because I will double the salary
coat
and divide it by two, right?
Like, yeah. Sit on the shoulders, you wear a trench coat, and then you go in there and talk about your salary.
Okay. All right.
Or you just wear cowboy boots. I think that's part of the reason that we have this Western trend going is because the shorter people, men and women, get to wear cowboy boots, and that's a way that you get a natural big chunky heel.
That's true. You gain like a few inches of height.
I just think that, first of all, whenever you go to one of these protests, don't they have the pantsless tea ride every year? Have you ever seen that?
No.
Okay.
I actually try to avoid the tea as much as possible.
If you're riding the tea pantsless, you are like disgusting.
You might need to
go
directly to the doctors after that. Like, you know, those seats aren't like clean.
So gross.
Yeah.
What is worse, riding the tea pantsless or eating on the tea?
Oh, the pantsless.
Pantsless, yeah.
Like if you sit there and you have like a snack or like a sandwich or something on the tea, like whatever. But yeah, I'd much rather sit next to someone like,
I don't know, man. I saw somebody peel an orange and eat it on the tea, and it was so gross.
See, that doesn't bother me.
Think about everything you're touching at the tea station and on the train and probably on the way there because you're in the city, and then you're peeling with your fingernails into a orange or clementine and popping that right into your mouth. Yeah. Like, that's nasty.
It's helping your immune system while also getting you sick at the same time.
I guess so.
I guess
so.
It cancels out. Yeah.
Textline also says, some very, very mean things that I'm not going to read, but
the Jackson boots on the ground interview. I kind of want to hear that now.
Okay. I think no one should walk around topless except at the beach.
Okay.
So
like, again, I don't really care that much about this. I just think as long as you're not like,
there's a whole movement
going
here
into Target,
and for some reason it has to do with extraterrestrials.
Yes. Well, I guess technically though, have you ever seen an alien with a t-shirt on?
Yeah, and definitely. There's
except
a
for the guy on American Dad.
I was going to say, Daddy Ollie.
Outside of him, every time, like, and I'm a big X-Files fan, so I watched all those. But anytime you see a movie, show that, have you ever seen an alien just, like, with a T-shirt on? I haven't.
No.
You know, except maybe, like, the Men in Black ones that are in human disguise don't count. Like, an actual alien in his form, I don't know. How many of them have you seen with a T-shirt on?
I don't know. I think that there's a certain line where it's kind of like the old definition of pornography, where it's like, I know it when I see it. There's behavior that I think we need to get back to where it's inappropriate if it makes the general public uncomfortable.
Yeah, and that was one real bad thing about COVID. Now people think they can just do whatever they... People stayed home for a few months, and now they think they can do whatever they want in public.
Well, also, I would say that COVID made, because of the social distancing in public, people have lost all physical awareness of themselves. Like, the
speakerphone at the gym, brutal.
The people just walking down the sidewalk with their face in their phone, and I have been guilty of it, so I'm not, like, sitting here on my high horse, but we all need to be better about it, because one of these people is going to get hit by a car, and it terrifies me. People sit there with their AirPods in, and they have the phone up to their face, and they're walking down a busy street bumping into everybody.
The people that drive with AirPods in?
That freaks me. I think that's illegal.
I think one of the most underplayed scandals, too, in America is some of the worst drivers on the road I come across work for Uber and Lyft.
They got the pressure on them. That's why they got to get from one
drive.
Space to
so
the
many
other.
Uber and Lyft drivers are terrible, like dangerous drivers.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think just in general, like, driving in the city is pretty scary.
I'm in the suburbs happens to be like, I don't know. It's not, there's some terrific Uber drivers and most of them are nice people, but there's some really bad drivers, and a lot of them happen to also work for Uber.
I just find the Uber drivers to be incredibly stressed out, and they're the ones who are usually honking the horn as soon as the light turns green, and you're like, bro, like, I'm not on my phone. I'm looking at the light. Chill out. I know that it's green. You don't need to alert me. Somebody says that Mega looks like an alien. That's true. I do have a little bit of that look about me. I haven't seen it, but... I think, like, my limbs, my... Okay. I got a bit of an Abraham Lincoln build going on, which is okay.
So you're 6'4"? Yeah, a man? Beard?
No.
Yeah.
I'm saying, I'm not going to get into this. There's a certain syndrome that makes your limbs really long, and somebody in my family told me that it runs in my family, but I'm not going to go down that road.
Okay.
Anyway, I think that the topless in Boston, like, going back to, can we just kind of agree that some things generally we don't really need to have?
Yeah.
Like, it is... Do we need guys walking topless around Boston Common? Probably not. Yeah. Like, if you're laying down and sunbathing, if you're doing something that naturally seems to, like, be okay topless, then sure. Maybe if you want to play volleyball on the beach at M Street Beach and you want to be topless for that, I guess if the,
like,
guys have their shirts off,
like, yeah,
whatever.
And that's,
I,
like,
don't really,
aren't,
care.
They, that's part of, like, the sport in the Olympics too. Like, they don't wear shirts, right?
I mean, they do wear something.
Yeah, I think your point though about, like, there's certain things that society should be a little more uncomfortable. People should be doing.
Well, not that they should or shouldn't, but if the majority of people feel this is a little weird, then we should respect that.
Yeah.
If the majority of people don't want you sitting on the tee with your speakerphone blasting, the rest of the car should be able to vote on the tee and say, turn your stupid phone off. If everybody else is doing it and everybody, the majority likes it, then majority rules. In this case, I just feel like it's kind of like a common sense thing. Not trying to be oppressive. I just think it's, like, what generally makes people comfortable.
Such a huge thing. Everyone, like, grows up on their phones now. So, like, you don't get enough social interaction when you're younger. And you think when you're older, like, whatever you do is just okay. And it's not. Like, you can't just do whatever you want. But there's so many people that feel that way.
Well, that's on the parents.
The people that just, like, berate customer service staff, like, in
never
supermarkets and all that. Like, but there's, I feel like that's gotten so much worse in the last 4 or 5 years.
You think so?
People, like, in pub, and maybe it's just because now people take videos of it all the time.
Oh.
And before, maybe they didn't. But, like, and also videotaping everything.
That's the,
like,
other thing that freaks me out.
Like,
so if you talk about drivers and Uber driver, I was parallel parking on Newbury Street and doing a very good job. It was, I'm a very quick parallel parker. I'm moving it. I'm
sick brag, bro.
I was just going to say that, and I was, like, waiting for Zach to play it.
So I was pulling into a space, and this guy swerves around me, and sometimes people do this. They don't like when you're parking on a busy street. Sorry, I'm going to park. There's an open space on Newbury Street. I'm parking there. So the guy swerves around me, and I was a little bratty. I stuck my tongue out at him. I didn't flip the bird or anything. I just did a meh. Like, I got my parking space. The guy gets out of his car with his phone and just starts recording me sitting in my car. It was so weird. Yeah. I was sitting there. I felt violated. Like, I was like, but there's nothing to record now. I'm just sitting in my car. And this guy's just sitting with his phone up recording me. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go into Abercrombie now. Yeah. Bye.
That's like, that people like that are either like begging to go viral or they're begging to sue someone for something.
It was very odd.
But it's like, I guarantee
you. It freaked me out. I called one of my friends and I said, I feel weird about this. And she said, I got videotaped the other day doing something.
I guarantee you if like 3 hours from now, you and I were out somewhere in public and like we got in an argument, like 15 people would videotape it. And it's I find that so weird.
Yeah, it's very 1984.
Like people you don't know are just like videotaping you.
Okay. Well, a lot of videotaping last night with the Red Sox Yankees. You like that transition?
I didn't see any Apple Watches.
Well, videotaping from the Fox broadcast team. And a good thing that they were, because Roman Anthony, this is such a lame transition. I just didn't know how to get out of this. Roman Anthony had a terrific night last night, but did the Red Sox do enough to solve some of the problems that we saw in the Orioles series and in that final game against the Marlins? We're going to get back to Red Sox Yankees talk, how you're feeling about them. Is Roman Anthony the savior for the rest of the season? How are you feeling about Nathaniel Lowe? Is he the real deal? We'll hit that right after trending.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
The ability of not swinging strikes. At balls. You know that gives you confidence. You know he's always in control. Even in the strikeout. You know 2-0, and then he grinded 3-2. He's just good at bat. You know he's getting better defensively, which is awesome. He works hard every single day. This kid, he wants to be the best out there, and you know today we need everything from him.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora talking about Roman Anthony. Who else? The hero from last night turning into maybe the hero of the Red Sox season if they make a deep postseason run. Before we get back to our baseball talk, I do want to update, as we have been talking so much about the Patriots roster and what it's going to look like by cut down day. Mike Reese of ESPN is on the ground in Foxborough where the team's back, and Mike Vrabel is addressing the media. 14 Patriots releases today. Some of the notable ones that Mike Vrabel just detailed. I'll read off some names here that people probably know among those 14. Backup quarterback Ben Wooldridge, who you saw a lot of last night. Guard City So, tight end Jaheim Bell, cornerback Isaiah Bolden, guard Tyrese Robinson. So I think those are the most notable ones. And anybody else from that list jump out to you that people might be interested in? 14 names.
No, I mean, Shane Watts played a lot last night if you were watching, but yeah, no one else really notable. I think the City So one is, to me, the most disappointing of the group, because you look at the second half of 2023, he was a starting guard and you thought, hey, maybe there's some potential there, and then couldn't get on the field last year except as a fullback occasionally, and now he's cut just a couple years later. So that's a guy that they invested a draft pick in, I think, to be a starting guard, and now, you know, a year and a half later or so, he's cut.
Yep, so we will continue to follow that. We're going to get back into our Patriots talk a little bit later in the show, because a lot of stuff on the horizon about whether or not they're going to be making some trades. Even after they set that 53-man roster, is it going to look really different by the time that you see the Las Vegas Raiders to open up the season on September 7th? We're going to talk to Mike Inouye, right guard, at about 1:15, I think is what we're banking on for him.
1:15, yep.
So I believe we still have that on the schedule. Looking forward to talking to him. Maybe ask him a little bit about these rats that Mike Vrabel is hunting out.
Do you know any rats?
If that's something that's communicated behind the scenes, or is that just to us, the media? Very curious about that. But let's get to Red Sox Yankees, because the Red Sox, they didn't solve everything last night. They didn't show you that they found solutions everywhere, but they at least took the first of four against the Yankees in the Bronx. Really important for them to be in the driver's seat to start out this series, a pivotal series, as we so often like to say. Before we get to Roman Anthony and what you just heard from Alex Cora there, did you see enough from the Red Sox last night for you to feel more confident than you were coming out of the last game against the Marlins and the two games that they lost against the Orioles?
It was nice. Again, Anthony's homer. It was a man on base, man in scoring position. They got a hit. Like, that was great to see.
Rispy.
Yeah. So I felt much better in the second half of that game. And you could kind of feel it. Like, they were getting a bunch of guys on base early. They were 0 for 10 with guys on base through the first four innings. The one run they got in was due to a Yankees error. So it was nice to see them start to get some hits. Obviously, Story drove in a run. Anthony had the home run. And that Anthony moment, top three moment of the season, right? Like, with the Rafaela walk-off homer, the first time I saw Crochet pitch, like, that was awesome to see. Great in the moment, too, right? In the ninth inning at Yankee Stadium. So I certainly feel better about them than I did when you and I did the show Wednesday, coming off those Baltimore losses. But, again, you still don't want to start 0 for 10 with guys on base, right? Not ideal. I thought the bullpen, Wilson allowed a runner to score, an inherited runner, but then they gave 4 1/3 of shutout ball, which was nice considering their bullpen had struggled against the Marlins, had some issues against the Orioles. That was nice to see as well, because these next two games, you got Bayo tonight, Crochet Saturday. Like, this is an opportunity for you to take 3 out of 4 now and make a big difference in the standings.
Yeah, I think even with issues around Walker Buehler and others, the starting pitching hasn't been the problem overall this season and hasn't been for a while and isn't an area of major concern for this series. You mentioned them going 0-10 with runners in scoring position, our new favorite stat for everybody following this Red Sox team, but they went 3-19 overall, and they're stranding 3.68 runners in scoring position per game, which puts them like in the bottom, I want to say like bottom 4 or 5 teams, yeah, in terms of how bad that stat is. Now, you can say they're getting runners in scoring position, and that's true. Like, that's the flip side of that stat, is that you are loading up the bases. You are getting guys there in scoring position, and then you're striking out. I just think you did see another big instance of that last night, and Roman Anthony gave you the insurance hit and was completely where you needed him to be last night, thank goodness. I don't know that you found I would say you haven't found a solution to that that's sustainable, that you can count on. And are you okay just being one of these teams where you say, well, look at the run differential and this is a streaky team? Like, do you have enough confidence that way going into the postseason? Or do you think that they should have done more at the trade deadline? Do you think that they should have brought Roman Anthony up much earlier so that you wouldn't have so many of these one-run losses on your results?
Yeah, and you look at all the one-run games they lost, especially the first couple months of the year. Do they win a few more of those if Anthony and Meyer are up earlier on? You know, don't know. It feels like they would have. And, of course, they should have done more at the trade deadline. And I think you have to resign yourself now. This is a streaky baseball team. Like, they won 10 in a row before the All-Star break. They've also had a 7-game winning streak this year, but they've had times where they've lost 3 out of 4 or 6 out of 8. Like, that's just, I think part of that is they don't have quite as, they have more top-end talent than they used to, but not quite as much as some of the true big dogs in the AL and the NL. And also, they have so many young guys they're relying on. Like, as great as Roman Anthony has been, and as great as something like, Narvaez has been a little bit streaky at times at the plate, right? Rafaela, and more so Rafaela when they've moved his position, but there's been a difference there. And I think that's the nature of some of these, even Bayo and Giolito, right? Like, how great they've been the last 2 months. Well, they were really not that good in April and May. Like, so I think that's just the nature of these guys.
Let's hear, just because it was a great call. Like, first of all, I love the way that this call starts. Lou Marlone is bemoaning in such an authentic way how bad it is to watch this team with all these runners in scoring position and them being unable to bring them home. And then you get, of course, Roman Anthony up at the plate. Here's the call from WEEI last night.
Runner in scoring position.
Oh, man.
Love to just, at least it's not bases loaded. It's just a man on second. Maybe we can get him in.
Pitch. Roman drives one. High and deep and gone! Roman supreme in Gotham. That is a hit with runners in scoring position. A signature moment for Anthony. And it is 6-3 Red Sox.
Note from the text line, which I quite agree with, from 207. What made that home run extra special was Roman Anthony finally showing some swagger. He always looks too calm. There is, like, for all the amazing composure that he has, and he's very much respected for it by his manager and by Alex Bregman, who we heard earlier in the show, talking about, like, I can't give this kid any more advice. He's perfect. Like, he's a pro. What do you want me to tell him? But, yeah, you get a little personality from him last night.
That bat flip was awesome. Like, why did you even pitch to me type bat flip?
Kind of like, was, yeah, like.
That was awesome.
It was snarky. It was a snarky bat flip. It was like an FU bat flip. Like, okay, you're going to try me? Try me. Here you go. Yeah. And I'd like to see a little more from that. He doesn't have to go full A-hole. Like,
right, you don't want him
we
to
don't
go
want him
way,
turning into A-Rod.
Yeah, you don't want him being a total jerk.
But we like
bit
to
of that,
see,
like,
we
all right,
like to see a little bit of the FU. Okay, yeah. We're here in the Northeast. You're at the Yankees. He just came off a bad series against the Orioles. We like to see a little FU from
and he
from
let
the
his
guys.
Play do the talking first, right? It wasn't talking a bunch like before. He hit the home run. He's like, sup. Like, I thought that was awesome. Like, that was one of my favorite part about it is they got hit with a runner in scoring position. The bat flip, though, that was cool.
Do you think he's a little too, I don't know, clean, calm?
Nope,
collected
I'm not
going to
complain about that.
You're not complaining about his personality?
At 21 years old, I'm fine. No, I honestly wouldn't care if he said nothing at all if he plays this well.
I kind of like that we get the videos. We talk about everybody video recording everybody. I like the videos of him like going on Nantucket with all his friends and his ladies
or
and stuff.
On the Play
I want to know
podcast,
that he's having
good.
A good time. What did he do on the Play Tessie
He just podcast? Does like all like crazy. He talks about like not liking ketchup with them and all kinds of stuff or stuff like that. So,
is he like
I think
a
Zach's
hot dog,
heard probably
a
more of it than I
thing?
Have, but I don't know.
Is he good on there, Zach?
Yeah, he was good. That the ketchup comment kind of caught on because the Padres used it on the video board. He said that it should be exterminated off the face of the earth.
Ketchup?
Yeah.
Is he talking about the Fenway ketchup that they had last year where it was sugar-free? Because I agree that was atrocious. But you get a good classic ketchup or you get a spicy ketchup.
Yeah,
you ever
that was
get one
luxury
of those spicy
tax ketchups? Ketchup last year. They
that
didn't want to
terrible.
Pay the tax and get real ketchup last year. That's
I don't. I don't know. I like you know. I'm
no,
sure
I like a little
person.
Like Fernando Tatis Jr. is my favorite player in baseball. He's got a ton of personality, and I think that's awesome. But I think it's just the play. Like what I liked about Anthony last night, the bat. It was after he had hit the home run, right? Like I don't like the guys that talk a bunch and then underperform.
Red Sox have been on the whole owning. The Yankees so far this year, they're 6-1 in the series against the Yankees. They got three more games to play in New York. The one, this game was obviously the Roman Anthony moment was really cool, but leading up to it, it was kind of a root canal of a game. Both teams were pretty ugly. The Yankees sucked. The Yankees were atrocious in the beginning, giving up three errors
in the top of the second alone.
Walking nine guys, like they were really bad. Thank God you won because they gave that to you on a platter. I don't know if do you see anything that indicates that you're going to get that soft, that sloppy of a Yankees team through these next three games?
Actually, we'll see. It's funny because coming into this game, the Yankees had won 6 out of 8. But over the last 2 years, like they do stuff like this all the time. Like they lost the World Series in part because of that, especially Game 5 specifically. So look, do I think they're going to commit 3 errors in an inning again? No, but are they going to have another game this series, the Yankees, where they commit 3 or 4 errors? I think so. Like, it's just who. Look, the Red Sox are arguably the worst fielding team in the league. They've been bad on the base paths. Yankees aren't that far behind them. Like, they just have a penchant for doing this stuff.
Yeah, there was some wacky stuff going on with you last night as well. Like, we argued a little bit earlier about the Sidon Rafaela play off the wall that created a triple for the Yankees and whether anybody out there could have played that better. I thought Sidon looked lost trying to collect that ball, but it could just have been a really insane angle off the wall. Like you can argue that either way to me, but he's just usually the best at that. And then on top of that, you have a strange Trevor Story error.
Yeah. You just the Hamilton pickoff at third was brutal too.
Yeah,
because that could have been a big second. Like if you look at that second inning, you go up 1-0 and Hamilton's on third and then he gets picked off. Like that was tough.
So I don't know if I've ever asked you this, when you see mistakes like that, and I'm not talking about so much Rafael off the wall, but the Hamilton thing, for example, like base running errors, these strange like goof ups, is that to you more on Cora and the coaching, or because it's fundamentals, is that on the player at the major league level?
I think it's a total organizational failure with those things. Because
I go a little that way,
they're not taught this stuff in them, because all their minor leagues is drive line, launch angle, all that. And that's Craig Breslow and Cora talked about that earlier this year. I think Breslow was on the Greg Hill show, and he's like, that's something we need to evaluate and get better at. And I don't think it's a coincidence, Mego, that in the last few years, the three young guys who were the most ready to play at the big league level, one was Anthony, and he's a, I think, generationally good player. But the other two were Abreu and Narvaez, who were developed outside the Red Sox organization. I don't think that's a coincidence. Like, you see even Christian Campbell, all the struggles he had in the field. Obviously, we talked about him at the plate, but all those struggles he had in the field, all the base running mistakes, where I put it on Cora, Mego, is when these guys keep making them. Like, and they don't get that much better. Like, it's like year two and year three and year four. Like, they've been the worst fielding team in the league for 3 years now. Like, that, some of that is on court. Now, some of that is he was forced to play Kike Hernandez at shortstop. Like, that sucks. But some of that's on court. But that's why, to me, it's just a collective organization. Like, they're not teaching it in the minors. The guys don't come up ready. And then they get to a point where it's just not improving with the major league staff.
All right, we ask you, what do you think the cause of these ongoing errors, base running, goof-ups? Even when you win, you can't get away from some of these problems, plus stranding these runners in scoring position. You get a big win last night to start the series. Everybody's continuing to be in love with Roman Anthony, but what about these other problems that continue to plague the Red Sox? The number is 617-779-7937 if you want to chime in on our Red Sox conversation, which will continue on the other side of this very quick break.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids, so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, Jones and Keefe on WEEI. And streaming on WEEI.com.
Exciting to be here. It's exciting to, you know, I got to play them at home my first week, and now that I'm settled in and through that first week, this time around felt a little bit more calm, a little bit more controlled, and I just felt better. It was exciting.
I'm sure you've watched a lot of games in the stadium. You know, what was it like playing in the stadium?
It was awesome. Quite the atmosphere, especially for us, and you know, we know the rivalry, and it was exciting.
Roman Anthony discussing last night at Yankee Stadium the home run that he had given the Sox the 6-3 win over the Yankees to start this four-game series. A win they really needed coming off of that Orioles series. Let's go to the calls here. 617-779-7937 is the number if you want to jump in, talk Red Sox here. Justin in New Hampshire. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, guys. So I just wanted, I was just listening, Mego, I think your point in the last segment was a good one. Look, this team is very streaky, but they're also extremely inconsistent, and they lack discipline. They give away a lot of outs, both on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. I just don't see a month to 45 days for when the season, the regular season ends, that a team can develop the consistency that they've so sorely lacked. And championship baseball teams, in any sport for that matter, have a discipline and consistency that is predictable. This is not predictable. Until they show me that, I'm not excited in the least.
Thanks, Justin. The consistency with the offense is the biggest issue right now to me. Like, you can talk about all the fielding errors that they have, the goof-ups that they make base running, and those things certainly matter. Those things, for whatever reason, are aspects of teams under Alex Cora that we've been watching for years. Like, we've seen those Cora teams for years. Those Cora teams have those zits. I don't know why. Maybe to your point, John, it has more to do with the minor league system, the farm system, and how the Red Sox players who come up are developed. But I wouldn't say it's just Red Sox players who are plagued by those issues here. The at-bat decisions, like the decisions at the plate, the decisions on when to swing at what you're seeing, if it's a ball or not. Like some of the stuff with Story, like it's,
yeah, was it the first pitch with the bases loaded against Baltimore?
Kind of inexplicable, right? Yeah. Where it's like, where does that come from? Is that drive line or is that a guy making an individual decision?
And you wonder, like, and we've talked ad nauseum about the runners in scoring position thing, but like, how much of that ties into launch angle, right? Because you're so focused on hitting rather than just, let me try to hit a single here and drive
in the
guys
on second.
Well,
it's like putting the ball in play versus the launch angle crap.
Exactly, right? Like, just get the guys from second and third home. Right? You wonder how much of that plays into it, especially with some of the younger guys. Like, I don't think that's a thing with a guy like Bregman or one of the vets, but so how much does that play with some of these young guys who came up through the system, whether it was with driveline or launch angle? And even, like, I complimented Abreu and Narvaez earlier, but I'm sure the Astros and the Yankees are too big on launch angle in their minor league system. So, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if that kind of ties into some of these struggles. Because their lineup, like, I'm not sitting here saying they have the lineup like an elite, like they have the lineup that the Dodgers have or the Padres or something, but like, they have a good lineup overall. Like,
and that's saying something Bregman, when you Anthony, traded away Devers.
Exactly. Like, they have a good enough lineup that they should be better with runners in scoring position, I guess, if that makes sense. Like, their lineup is good enough that they should not be middle to second half of the pack in with runners in scoring position.
Well, and the composure of some of these guys, Rafaela, Story at times. Story's been really good overall recently, but at the bat that he had that you just cited against the Orioles, some of the judgment doesn't make sense. And that's where, to me, it does go back to a question, who's running the show there? Who's making those decisions? Is it the guy individually who's ignoring coaching or analytics telling him to do something, or is it an overall idea, an overall, you know, subscription that you have to, this is what the analytics tell us, it's not worth it to put the ball in play here or here or here, go for the launch angle. I think people quickly demonize the second thing, the idea that the computer is spitting everything out and that's how you make every decision. In some cases, I do think it's on the guys making a dumb decision or a dumb read at the plate.
Yeah, and I think, like, Rafael is a good example in that early in the year, there was reports out that the Red Sox were frustrated because he kept swinging at the first pitch all the time.
Yes.
And he was getting behind in counts. And then he got a little bit more patient, and he hit .283 in June. Like, he was really good. He got much better, and then they started moving his position all over the place.
Do you really think that that's what caused that? That he's that
much less. I think the position
changes
had something to do
with it. He's that much less confident at the plate that his, because of his being out of the outfield at second base, that it's frustrating him that much?
I think the stress of a middle infield position, and not that, I mean, center field is a stressful position too, but the middle,
but
moving
he loves
to a,
it.
Right, and he's awesome at it. I think moving to a middle infield position mid-season, the stress of that, I think it's had a direct effect on him. I think it would affect a lot of guys. Like, it's not unique to him. I think it's one of the reasons out in LA, Mookie's not having as good a year as you're accustomed to, because he's had to play shortstop every day. Like, and Rafaela, last year when he played shortstop, he got moved around. I think he had a bit of a tough time then, at least early on. So I think that does have a direct causation, not just correlation. I think there's causation there.
Either way, I think that that's the biggest solution that they need to find, is this streaky, streaky offense. This offense that, as of recently, have been stranding so many runners in scoring position. Look at any stat that you want. They all spell the same thing. And you have somebody like Roman Anthony, you have guys like Alex Bregman, Trevor Story, who have been super productive for you. But when you get into the postseason, if this is still an issue and you're going through the extreme of three straight innings, loading up bases, load them up, strike them out, load them up, strike them out, load them up, strike them out. Like, you can't have that. You got to figure out something. If it's analytically based, get the hell away from that. If it's guys within your lineup who are making their own decisions and misjudging, coach that, but you've got a couple weeks to figure it out, because you can't have that in the postseason.
Yeah, and I think it's like, the pitching has been good all year. Real, I mean, Crochet's been good all year.
The
bullpen's been
good pretty much all year.
Outside of the last
recently.
Week, they've been good essentially all year. And Bayo and Giolito since June 1st have been really good. It's just the lineup, as we've seen, you know, they have, I think, the most games in the majors with 10 or more runs, but then they also have a bunch of one-run losses. Like, that's you're either going to enter the postseason and be the Diamondbacks from a couple of years ago and run by everyone, or it's going to be a short time when you get there.
If you want to keep talking Red Sox, you can jump in. 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you want to call in and chat with us, or if you just want to jump in on the text line and tell us your thoughts. Right after this break, we are going to get right back into Patriots. Look at some of the trades that could be on the table and how likely the Patriots are to make a trade. One Patriots insider, very bullish on the Patriots having a lot of roster movement, not just cutting and releasing guys for the 53-man roster, but making some additions that are not on our radar as well. We will also talk to right guard Mike Unwenu at about 1:15, we believe. He could be early. He could be a little bit later than that, but he'll probably be in the next long segment that we have, commercial-free. So don't go anywhere right after this break.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.